Episode 20 of the podcast is brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Visit them at firstrow.ca and use the promo code FNP at checkout for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu Mouthguards, definitely the best mouthguard I've ever owned. Head on over to their website, sisuguard.com, and use the promo code FNP10 for 10% off your order today.
Ladies and gentlemen, recorded in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, it's time for the Fight Night Picks podcast with your host, Craig Allen.
Episode number 20 of the podcast. Still got Bruce Buffer on the intro. Big weekend of fights. Let's get into it. All right, episode number 20 of the podcast. We got another great interview today. Had MMA Junkies lead staff reporter and host of the MMA Roadshow podcast, Mr. John Morgan. We're also going to do a recap of the past weekend of fights, you know, including my assignment at NEF 34, Home of the Brave in Portland, Maine. And then we're also going to break down tonight's Contender Series fights, and we'll be back again on Thursday instead of Friday to get you set for this weekend, and then we'll do a total preview of Thursday's PFL. So without further ado, let's get right into our interview with John Morgan. All right, might as well get started. So John, how'd you get your start in journalism?
Yeah, it's kind of a long story. I mean, I went to school for it, but you know, as I'm sure a lot of people in the journalism field know, it's not exactly the most lucrative career to chase after. So I put myself through school working in restaurants and ended up doing that for the longest time. And then about 28, 29 years old, I just decided, hey, you know, this is something that I had a passion for and that I loved, and maybe I need to go back and give it a shot. You know, I stuck with the restaurants because I was getting paid more money at the time, and then decided to kind of give it a shot. And as it turned out, I happened to meet the guys of MMA Junkie Radio, who helped me meet the guys at MMA Junkie, and started out as an internship that turned into a part-time job that turned into a full-time job. So not the quickest route to get there, but certainly one I'm glad it took.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be cool. Do you head to many international events with MMA Junkie?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been fortunate enough to travel around the world, man. I mean, I've been to Brazil like 30 times, you know, gone to some of the other nations as well. I mean, just this last year, going to Shanghai for the China event was fantastic over there. Definitely hoping to make it out to Russia later this year for the Moscow debut as well. So yeah, definitely been able to see the world in doing this. So that's been a real blessing of the job.
Yeah, that's awesome. So home base for you is Las Vegas, right?
That's true. Yeah, I was born and raised in Dallas, and actually living in Ohio at the time that I ended up working full-time for MMA Junkie, just decided that, you know, hey, listen, if I was going to be traveling out to Vegas, you know, six or eight times a year for events, if I just lived here, you know, that's six or eight weeks I don't have to travel, and just decided to come out and give it a year, and man, wouldn't live anywhere else now, man. I love Las Vegas. It's definitely a lot different than coming to visit. The Strip is a fun place, but, you know, outside, we've got a regular little town here as well, so it's a pretty great place to be.
Yeah, that's definitely got to be cool. I mean, UFC's home base as well. It's got to be easy to cover. Looking forward to Tuesday night Contender Series. You know, episode number 2 tomorrow night. What's probably the biggest fight, maybe the fight that you're most looking forward to?
You know, that's a good question. Probably Giga Chikadze is one guy that I'm really looking forward to watching. He is a phenomenal kickboxer, and, you know, he's kind of dabbled in mixed martial arts, but when he's on, he's on. Emiliano Sordi versus Brian, two guys that people might have heard of before too. You know, they're kind of a little bit different than just your young prospect. So a couple on there, but overall, I just really love the Contender Series. I mean, the small nature of kind of being in the Ultimate Fighter gym and seeing me fight in front of just, you know, a handful of people, to me makes it a very memorable watching experience. And I enjoy it. I love seeing that next generation of fighters. So we all love writing about the stars and you know, trying to chase the biggest story in the sport. But for me, I love watching the kind of guys that are coming up and seeing how they progress and, you know, kind of paying attention to who it looks like, you know, might be a future star.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm definitely looking forward to that Chikadze fight. I mean, yeah, great kickboxer, 38-6 record with 20 knockouts. And to your point, I mean, yeah, it's an amalgamation of, you know, LFA fighters, fighters from around the United States, but as well, there's a lot of international talent. Here at Fight Night Picks, I cover, you know, ACB 1, Road FC, all the different leagues out there. And then it's kind of a, yeah, you get all that talent put together in a smaller atmosphere. And it's great to see, you know, you see somebody win. I mean, it was disappointing with Chris Curtis, I guess, where he retired last week. But you get to see a guy like that show a lot of emotion and get a win on a smaller stage. So it's a pretty special event for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I hope Curtis will reconsider. I don't pretend to know him well. I don't know if he's prone to making kind of emotional decisions sometimes. Obviously, he was hurt in that fight as well. But, I thought he showed a lot of potential, a lot of skill there as well. So hopefully he'll reconsider at some point.
Yeah, for sure. You focus any on PFL this week?
Yeah, definitely. No, I'm excited about the PFL, man. I really like the format. I really do. I think it's intriguing. I mean, just seeing the first round of standings come out after the fight is kind of cool to see. I mean, you're not used to seeing standings in mixed martial arts. We have a clear number one, a clear number two. You know, it's very fair and just based on points or whatever. So, you know, I like the idea. It's not easy to get noticed. It's not easy in this, ever-filling landscape to get headlines and to get people to pay attention. But, you know, I think especially as we get towards the end of this year, you know, they're about to start writing million-dollar checks to fighters. I think you're going to see a lot of people, you know, paying a little bit more attention because that's going to be life-changing money to a handful of fighters. And, you know, listen, there's a lot of recognizable names in the field. And I like the idea. I really do. I like the concept. You know, whether or not it'll catch on, I don't know. I mean, I don't see the prime to take over the UFC anytime soon. But it's, you know, if you're doing something unique out there, I like the fact that they're doing something completely different. So I'm excited about PFL.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be great. The only thing that I see, you know, kind of causing them problems could be where they're going to have all the champions fight on the 31st of January. And I'm pretty sure college football tried that before and it didn't work out for them. The ratings weren't totally there. But yeah, a lot of money handed out to a lot of fighters. You've got a fair amount of former UFC talent. For me, I think the biggest fight on Tuesday is going to be Kayla Harrison's MMA debut. I think it's going to be really neat to see, you know, former U.S. Judo Olympian taking on 3-4 Brittany Elkin. So that should raise some eyebrows. But yeah, like you said, I mean, you've got Will Brooks fighting on Tuesday. And then that whole point system, like you had Andre Harrison last week. He got the win, but at the same time, he only got 3 points. And you could have somebody starting on that card getting 6 points and then leapfrogging over him in the standings. So yeah, really interesting type of style that they have going on.
Yeah, I like it. I think they set it up right. You know, I mean, I guess over time we'll see, you know, if we see that maybe for some reason it seems like somebody's getting shafted, but the point system seems to make sense. And yeah, to your point as well, Kayla Harrison, even though she's, interestingly enough, you know, not part of the season right now, she's kind of a special feature. I think people are definitely interested. I know I'm definitely interested in seeing. I mean, she is as high level as it gets in judo, and, you know, I've heard a lot of people behind the scenes saying that she's tearing things up in the training room for MMA as well, so that could be fun to watch.
Yeah, and so also this week, we've also got UFC Fight Night 132 from Singapore. Are you going to head over there for that one?
I'm not going for this one. I've been to the two previous Singapore events. I'm kind of bummed to not be over there, but it's a long flight over there. So I guess I'll look at the bright side of it. But we'll definitely watch it. We'll be waking up ridiculously early, or maybe staying ridiculously late. I don't know. But we'll definitely be watching that with a keen eye. I mean, obviously the main event, Cerrone and Leon Edwards, is a big one in the welterweight division. But, you know, I like Tyson Pedro versus Ovince St. Preux as well. Jessica Rosquart versus Jeff Guy. I mean, those are some pretty meaningful fights. And, you know, a couple other stories along the way, guys, that I like to pay attention to. But, definitely be watching that one as well.
Yeah, it should be a great event. I mean, like you said, Cerrone Edwards, it's a good main event. There's a lot of storylines in it. I mean, you've got former ACB standout Peter Yan on there taking on Trudo Ishihara. Yeah, it should be great. And speaking about ACB, I just wanted to get your thoughts on them. You know, I saw that they paid Chris Camozzi like full money for showing up for his fight against Thiago Silva. He couldn't make it due to visa issues. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're trying to make some noise on the scene. You know, I mean, it's tough outside the United States and outside the big promotion, you know, to make sure that you're stocked and with talent and to make sure that you're getting, that you're getting fights that people want to pay attention to. But, I mean, these promotions from around the world are important. You know, your your M1 Globals, your Fight Nights Global, your KSW, all these promotions from around the world are imperative, to help kind of continue to grow the sport of mixed martial arts, both from a fan perspective and from a talent perspective. Guys can't fight at the highest level right away, so getting to cut their teeth there is good. Not to mention, sometimes when guys are maybe a little over the hill, still have something to offer, but maybe not just quite at the highest level. Giving them a place to continue plying their trade is important as well. So, a lot of these promotions, really do deserve your attention. I know it's tough, unless you're the hardest of hardcore, to pay attention to the regionals as well. But, a lot of times there are fights that are worth watching out for.
Yeah, for sure. And they just signed Brad Pickett there last week, so another big name for them. And, Fight Night Picks, we'll get you covered on the regional circuit. I was at New England Fights 34 this past weekend covering that event as well. John, it's been great having you on. Thanks so much for taking the time. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you got it, brother. Anytime. You can follow me on Twitter at MMA Junkie John. I'm also on Instagram at the MMA Roadshow, which is our podcast I do as well with Ken Hathaway, Cold Coffee. So if you're sitting here in a little bit more of kind of what we do on a weekly basis while we're out traveling the world covering MMA, then check out the MMA Roadshow.
Awesome, John. Thanks so much for coming on. Man, awesome to have John Morgan on the podcast. Really influential guy in the world of MMA journalism and broadcasting, and I'm really fortunate to have him on. All right, so like I said, this past weekend, on Saturday, I was live at New England Fights 34, home of the Brave, from Portland, Maine. They had it at Aura, which is downtown, had a lot of balcony seating, but at the same time, there was a pit on the lower section, standing floor there. So raucous crowd. There were a lot of people there. One thing to note that I had noticed anyway was that the state of Maine had not adopted the unified rules of mixed martial arts. So before the fight, they went over, the rules with all the fighters, just to make sure they were aware of that. So on the card, there were 18 scheduled bouts. You had two professional fights and then two amateur title fights. And just going through a lot of great fights. I really liked the pacing that they had. It kind of reminded me of ACB, where one fight was done and you had a minute or two and then another fight started. So really neat there. The amateur fights, they were 3 3-minute rounds. For the title fights, they were 5 3-minute rounds. And then for your professional bouts, they were 3 5-minute rounds. So, going down through it, your first fight ended by first round TKO. Your second fight ended by first round TKO. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 first round finishes to the night. Probably the most interesting finish for me was Sarah Matulis beating Carol Lynn Powell. It was a first round back mounted rear naked choke submission win for Matulis, and really something special. And I read that she trains kind of close to Bangor, Maine, so it'd be interesting to see if she's going to be at NEF 35 Wicked season coming up in September. Also on the card, you had Pictou County's own Brady McDonald pulling out the first round guillotine win in 15 seconds against Greg Waterbury. Also, another one, I had kind of considered it as a possible fight of the night contender, but you had Chris Ouellette taking on Dalton Dunphy, and that was a welterweight bout. Clean striking to start the first round. Ouellette was able to kind of pull away with a commanding lead by the end of the first. And, he had Dunphy in a tough spot up against the cage, threw some power punches at the end of that first round, but the ref determined that Dunphy was intelligently defending himself. And round two, Ouellette went right back in there and he was able to capitalize and get the second round knockout win at 42 seconds. So really great one there. You had a lot of, submission finishes. Another Angelo Rizzitello, and he was taking on Clifford Redmond. And Redmond came out of the gate throwing overhand rights. He was throwing haymakers, swinging. Rizzitello, he was able to withstand the storm, and he pulled off kind of a submission and scramble. A good win for Rizzitello, and another guy that's from the Bangor area that we could see at NEF 35. I keep going down through this. A lot of finishes, a lot of brawls. Another one of the good fights, you had Jordan Young taking on Glenn Kasabian. That was a tough one to score. Young definitely won the first round. They both had good movement on the feet. In the second round, Young kind of gained clinch position, but at the same time, Kasabian went for a guillotine attempt. He had another late round submission attempt. He was able to outstrike in the second. And then in the third round, Young was able to knock Kasabian down with an elbow, but at the same time, Kasabian got Young in an armbar. It was pretty tight, and then it ended up going to decision, and the judges scored it 29-28 Kasabian. And Kasabian, he trains out of Nostos MMA, which is, UFC's own Devin Powell, who was found by Dana White on the Looking for a Fight series on YouTube, and he was competing for NEF at the time, so pretty neat stuff there. Devin Powell was in his corner, and he cornered a number of different fighters. Also, I mean, I mentioned you had your amateur bantamweight title, but you also had an amateur welterweight title fight between Duncan Smith and Charlton Charles. Charles, former University of Maine football player, had a great physique going into the fight, but, Smith, he was able to get the quick takedown, and I even considered the first round a possible 10-8 for Smith. I mean, total control by him. Second round, it was kind of close. I had it scored, 10-9 for Charles. And then in the third round, Smith, he was all over him again. I mean, Charles kind of solved the takedowns, but Smith, he was able to land some shots from top position and got into a rear naked. So, Smith ended up getting the decision win, and he's your new NEF amateur welterweight champ. There was also your amateur bantamweight title between Cam Arnold and Killian Murphy. Both guys were technically sound. I had the fight scored 29-28 Arnold going into the fourth round. He was able to drop Murphy with clean left. Couldn't really capitalize on the ground in that exchange, but fight got back up to the feet, and Arnold got the one-punch knockout win. I mean, the announcer threw out possible fight of the year for the promotion on that one. And, exciting fights the whole night. They also had another fight. It was a pro lightweight bout between 15-9 Ryan Sanders and 5-7 Vince McGinnis. Sanders, if you look down through his record, got a win over Marcus Davis, Irish hand grenade, used to be in the UFC, trains a lot of fighters now, and he had a loss to MVP as well at Bellator 93 in Lewiston, Maine. So first round, it was mostly clinch work. I mean, Sanders had the position, landed a lot of knees to the outside of McGinnis's left leg, and then in the dying seconds of the first round, Sanders, he landed an armbar kind of out of nowhere, and on the way to the mat, McGinnis sustained, it was a major elbow injury. I didn't want to focus on it too much in my reporting, whether it was on Twitter or on the website, but man, he blew out his elbow and verbally submitted with 2 seconds left in the first round. Like I said, but man, masterful finish by Sanders, moving to 16-9 as a pro. And then in your main event, you had local fighter 5-1 Aaron Lacy taking on 4-1 ROC prospect from North Carolina, Damon Blackshear. I mean, Blackshear was dominant in that fight. He got the unanimous decision win, kept the pressure on the whole fight. In the second and third rounds, I mean, he turned it on, and he outstruck Lacy. I had it scored 30-27. One of the judges agreed with me. The other two scored at 29-28 for Blackshear. But man, like, great takedown abilities, good takedown defense, great clinch work. Like, he's a really promising prospect, so have your eye out for Damon Blackshear in the future. And as far as NEF events go, NEF 35 is going to be coming at you from Bangor, Maine, and that's going to be September 8th from Bangor. So have a look out for NEF 35 in future. Also this past weekend, we had M1 Global Challenge 94 from Orenburg, Russia. Main event I got right. I said take Demir Islamagulov to retain his title. He was taking on 22-10 Artyom Damkovsky. And, the fight started kind of slow. Both guys kind of threw some kicks to find their range. Ismagulov was able to, he held a dominant clinch position for about a minute against the ropes. And I was kind of surprised that he did because, I mean, in M1, they really discourage clinch work. They don't like guys going up against the ropes. They don't like it if you're stagnant on the ground as well. They'll stand it up. And the referee for this fight was Viktor Korneev, and he let it go. And he's one of the guys that's a stickler for that kind of stuff. So surprising stuff there. But yeah, once the fight got going, at about 3 minutes 50 seconds of that first round, Damkovsky threw kind of an overhand left, and it must have landed awkwardly. And all of a sudden, the ref stopped the action. It was a finish at 3:53 due to injury. Damkovsky's wrist must have been broken because, I mean, He was motioning to it. They took his glove off. And I mean, of course, when the glove comes off, fight's over. So title defense for Ismagulov. And who knows who he could end up fighting next. But your co-main was between some lightweight challengers. I'm sure it was smart matchmaking there because if somebody got injured, you could mix and match the fights. But I'd say said to take 18-4 Georgian fighter Raul Tutarauli. I had said take him to win. He was taken on 5-0 Roman Bogatov. I mean, Tutarauli had lost his last fight by decision in a title fight against Ismagulov in February. And, I mean, in this fight, both guys pressed the action. They landed shots. They both had a lot of submission attempts. Tutarauli was in control in the second round, got the fight to the mat. But Bogatov able to secure his fourth pro win by head and arm choke, and he wants a fight against the champ. So interesting stuff from M1. Also this weekend, you had ACB 88 from Brisbane, Australia. Your main event was scrapped. It was supposed to be Thiago Silva taking on Chris Camozzi, but Silva ran into some visa issues and was forced to pull out. And like John and I talked about, it was nice to see that ACB, you know, they paid Camozzi some money to show up there in Australia. So good on them. They also signed, like I said, One Punch Brad Pickett. So we're going to see him fighting at ACB 91 in England in the future. So new main event, it was between Luke Barnett and Karol Selinski. Ended up in a majority decision for Selinski. I had said to take Barnett. It was a hard-fought fight by both guys. I mean, Selinski, you know, he had more position, more control for most of the fight. But, yeah, both guys were fairly slow in their movements if you go back and watch that fight. There wasn't much of a highlight reel, but a good fight nonetheless and a win for Selinski. A highlight was former Bellator and UFC star Marcin Held's, you know, his comeback. He beat Nasrat Haqparast in his last fight, and I figured, you know, UFC would keep him around, but ended up in ACB, got the heel hook win over Callum Potter, and man, did he ever look good. I picked Potter to win the fight, and Held proved why he was so valuable in Bellator. I mean, it's a tough division in ACB. You've got your champ, Abdulaziz Abdulvakabov, at the top, but I mean, you could see Marcin Held's name up there relatively soon. A dominant win for him in his ACB debut. Also on that card, you had Canadian 14-4 Tanner Boser taking on UFC vet Chase Gormley. Boser got the unanimous decision win, so he's inching closer to a title shot and a possible rematch against Vakayev. They've fought in the past. So also this weekend, you had Cage Warriors 94 from Antwerp, Belgium. And exactly as I had predicted, Ilya Topuria was a better opponent than Jordan Reed was in Brian Boulon's last fight. And yeah, Topuria, 6-0 as a pro, 6 submission finishes, and he's your new bantamweight champ in Cage Warriors. If you haven't had a chance, go back and look at that fight. It was a dominant win for him. He was able to get a quick takedown, completed the gator roll, and he slept Boulon with an anaconda choke. Also this past weekend, you had Errol Spence Jr. He defended his IBF welterweight belt against mandatory challenger. That was Carlos Ocampo. Won by first-round KO, and I mean, who's next? I saw names like Terrence Crawford. I think that's who Errol Spence Jr. wants to fight. But also Amir Khan's name was thrown out there just due to his latest win. I mean, he had that loss against Canelo, but he's back, got a win. So what's next for Errol Spence Jr.? It's a packed welterweight division there in boxing. And makes things interesting for sure. So I'd like to take a second to thank my sponsors. We're glad to be brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Head on over to their website. It's firstrow.ca. Check out their selection. I mean, they've got MMA autographs, wrestling memorabilia, hockey cards. The list goes on and on. I was over there today. They had a Shohei Ohtani rookie card. I mean, he's the hottest prospect in baseball. They also had autographed pictures by UFC vet Roland Delorme, some Johnny Football rookie cards. You know I love the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they've got a large selection of sports collectibles and autographs. I mean, you're going to find something there. So for our listeners only, enter the promo code FNP at checkout for free shipping. And remember, all their prices are in Canadian dollars, so our American listeners, keep in mind you're going to be saving roughly 25% by ordering with First Row. We're also brought to you today by Sisu Mouth Guards. I reached out to them. I mean, I've had a Sisu mouth guard for a number of years now, and the one game that I didn't wear it in hockey, I lost my front tooth, and it probably cost me about $1,000 out of pocket. So if you go with them, they offer a one-year, $35,000 dental warranty that'll cover any out-of-pocket expenses if you end up getting injured while wearing the mouth guard. And they also recently partnered with Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, which is a national cancer foundation for children. And they're dedicated to raising funds for research into new treatments cures for children battling cancer. So from June of this year to June of next year, every yellow mouth guard purchased from their site, either the Arrow or Junior styles, will result in a 10% donation to ALSF. That's Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. So if you enter the promo code FNP10 at checkout, and you buy a yellow mouth guard, you're going to save 10% on your order. Plus, there's going to be a 10% donation to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. So go to the website SISU Guard, use the promo code FNP10 at checkout. So for this week, our up-and-comer is 9-0 as a pro. He's got 6 finishes in those 9 wins, and he's on a 12-fight win streak going back to his amateur days. Competing at this Thursday's PFL number 2, it's Rashid Yusupov. I mean, the guy's a stud of a fighter. Used to be M1 Global's light heavyweight champ, which is a stacked division for them. And he's not as known in North America, so that's why I consider him an up-and-comer, because I think with PFL 2, he's taken on, you know, battle-tested veteran Rakeem Cleveland, who's 18-9-1. You know, Yusupov, he's got a wushu background. And Rakeem Cleveland's no slouch. I mean, the guy's fought a who's who in middleweight, light heavyweight, and heavyweight. The likes of Derek Lewis, Tanner Boser, Mike Rhodes, and Houston Alexander, to name a few. So look forward to an exciting matchup there and possible competition winner in Yusupov. I really think he's going to be on everyone's radar after this fight. And if you didn't know about him already, check him out this Thursday at PFL number 2. So like I said, trying out some new things in the last few weeks. You know, we're kind of going away from previewing all the fights of the weekend on Monday or Tuesday. We're just going to focus on the fights during the week. And then I'm going away this weekend on Friday, so you're going to have a podcast on Thursday. I'll preview PFL as well as all of the other, you know, fights that are coming up this week. Plus, it gives me a chance to have the weigh-in results and factor that in on Thursday. So on Tuesday, which is today, you've got Dana White's Contender Series, episode number 2. There's 5 fights on the card. I don't know what fight you guys might be looking forward to the most, but your main event's between lightweight 6-1 Matt Sales. He's taking on Yazzle Dazzle Yazan Haji, who's 6-0. You know, if you have a look at Sales' record, 5 of his 6 pro fights have been finishes. Haji, on the other hand, is on an 8-fight win streak from his amateur days. Also on the card, you've got 2 undefeated middleweights and 6-0 Anthony Hernandez, and he's taking on 9-0 Jordan Wright. That could be one of the best fights this week. You know, if you have a look at Hernandez, 5 finishes, 4 submissions, and 6 victories. But Wright, I mean, all of his wins have come by first round finish. Though, if you really look into the numbers, he did beat a guy who's 0-22 in Edward Darby. So don't count that one. But 9-0 in all first round finishes, man, the guy's something special. In my conversation with John, we had talked about featherweight bout. You got Jiga Chikanze. He's 5-1 as an MMA fighter, but at the same time, guy used to be a former professional kickboxer, and he fought in glory as well. 38-6 record as a kickboxer, 20 knockouts. I mean, he's taken on 10-3 Austin Springer. Springer was on The Ultimate Fighter season 22, had a loss to Chris Grootsmacher. Also on his record, he has a loss to Steven Seiler, who, if you remember, in PFL 1, had the second biggest MMA comeback in history, odds-wise. He was a plus 1,100 at PFL 1. So, I mean, Springer's last 5, he's 2-3. And if you count his loss to Grootsmacher at Ultimate Fighter 22, even though that was an exhibition bout, he's 2-4 in his last 6. So take Chikanze in that fight. I mean, the guy could end up being the next big thing. And kind of reminds me of like a Gokhan Saki crossover between kickboxing and MMA. So that'll be an interesting fight for sure. Also on the card, you get a light heavyweight bout between 16-6 Argentinian Emiliano Sordi, taking on 13-5 Ryan Spann. I mean, Sordi, all of his fights, all of his wins have been by finish. He's got 11 knockouts and 5 submissions, but his last fight was just about a year ago. And then Spann on the other side, he has a loss to Carl Roberson on last year's Contender Series, but 3 finishes in a row since, and he's got 9 submission wins total. So interesting fight there. Your last fight on the card, or I should say your first fight on the card, you've got 8-1 Tyler Hill taking on 7-1 Dwight Grant, and I have no idea what could happen in this fight. Reason being, Dwight Grant hasn't fought since Bellator 165 in November of 2016. He trains at AKA. Hill hasn't fought since October of 2016 at Bellator 162, so it's pretty hard to try and predict what could happen in that fight. Another great Contender Series card, and it's really exciting to see these guys go at it, because it's pretty much, like I said with John, it's pretty much an amalgamation of all the top talent you can find around in some of the smaller leagues, and they're just going at it for a chance to get a UFC contract, like we saw Greg Hardy and Menafield get there last week. So Like I said, I think on Twitter, I was going to announce the winners of our Facebook and our Twitter t-shirt contest. So our winner on Facebook who liked the post and followed the page, you've got Craig Walker. And the winner on Twitter is at Mimbly Bimbly, Brandon LeBlanc. So congrats, guys, for winning the t-shirts. And I'll message you both with details. But yeah, brand new shirts in, guys. I'll have, you know, a link somewhere posted, and we'll have them up on the website as well, so you'll be able to purchase them. But yeah, really nice shirts that just came in last week. So that just about does us for episode number 20 of the podcast. Like I said, I'll be back again on Thursday. I'll preview PFL. You know, we'll have all the weigh-in results, and we'll be able to break that down and analyze it, as well as the cards this weekend. You've got UFC in Singapore. You've got a one championship card as well. So lots of fights this weekend. So we will see you back again on Thursday.